In Galatians 4:25, it says, "Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia." Told you I'd come back to this, and we're going to look into it today. Sometimes people read the Bible and miss things. They don't pay attention to all the words. And sometimes those things don't seem to make any kind of difference to people. But it does. And I'd like to point out something in this text that is really quite important and carries a lot of weight. It actually seems to make a difference to Paul, because he's the only one who says anything about it in the New Testament. He speaks of Mount Sinai as being in Arabia. That's actually in the text. So he brings it up in this discussion that is an allegory, and he wants Hagar to be seen as Mount Sinai in Arabia. Well, what's so important about that? What's so important about that mountain being in Arabia? I think you already know what's important about that mountain, but what about its location? For one thing, most people think it's in a different location, and they have for a long, 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 long time. For years, we've been taught that Mount Sinai was in the Sinai Peninsula, which is part of Egypt. Now it seems we were wrong, and so also those who told us that, which we believed, thinking them experts and knowing what they were talking about. We were taught to believe that the proposed location of Mount Sinai was there in the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt by faith alone. There was no proof of that previous location, no artifacts, no archaeological supporting information or objects that would help us to conclude that that's where it was. For centuries, people proposed that Mount Sinai was Jebel, you'd know it as Jebel Musa, where St. Catherine's Monastery was located. If you looked at any reputable map of that area, there was a question mark quite often that was clearly attached to that site. That means they did not know for sure. That's the same thing with the path of the Exodus, by the way. Now there's proof that it is near the Jordanian border in Saudi Arabia instead of in the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt. About a year ago, I don't remember exactly when, seems like at least a year, probably longer, Jerry sent me a link to a film that says that some people found Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. Or maybe it was the other way around. I might have sent it to him, but I think he sent it to me. In a recently released documentary I just read recently, Finding the Mountain of Moses, the real Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, has gone viral online, vividly proposing some scholars' theories that the 8,460-foot mountain peak in Saudi Arabia, Jabal Makla, the Mountain of Almonds, as it is translated in English, is the Jabal Al-Laws mountain range in the northwestern part of the Islamic country near the Jordanian border. Matches the biblical description of Mount Sinai, where Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the people. Now, in that film that I referred to a moment ago, the video shows, I mean, literally shows and speaks about many proofs. And those proofs are far too numerous for me to recount, but they're very compelling. Just for a quick review of them, just off the top of my head, and these are by no means all of the cited pieces of proof. There is a charred mountaintop. It's the only one around there that's charred like that, and it's charred from the outside. It's not a volcanic eruption kind of a thing because it's on the surface only. If you dig down in, it gets, you don't find it anymore. There were pillars of stones that were stacked up every so often as barriers that are all about 5 foot tall, I think. Clearly, they didn't get there by themselves. They're like a turtle on a fence post, in other words. There's a divided boulder, and I mean boulder, with the washout from the split of it on down the way. You know, water, in other words, coming from a rock. There's evidence of that. There's an altar of stones that were put there by humans and not by nature. Now, there's also a site nearby wherein there's been found a graveyard, I've just found out, where it is supposed, of course, to be the graveyard, final resting place for the bodies of the calf worshippers who were struck down. Remember that from the Bible. Currently, this place is surrounded by a fence and warnings all over the place not to enter the site since it's an archaeological site. Well, I don't believe that that's the reason why, but these folks who made the video I've referred to entered and took pictures of things that I've mentioned and more, and then others have done the same thing and had their cameras confiscated. Why? What's the harm? There's an armed guard and guard shacks around the area stationed strategically as well. Why is the site guarded by Saudi troops? Now, I suppose you already know that on a regular basis, Muslim scholars regularly attack the truthfulness of the Bible. Not all of it, but most of it. And the last thing those folks want to do is support Scripture. And if they did, they would tear down their own religion, the veracity of it. All of that adds up, since the last thing Arabs want to do is there to be irrefutable truth of the Exodus confirmed. So they're keeping people out. That would refute their own religion and affirm the words of Scripture. Mount Sinai has never, previous to this, been affirmed or found in the Holy Land. That's important. Or in the Sinai Peninsula. I want to read you an excerpt from an article that I copied down, and I'll just put it here so I could read it. Here's the way that goes, and I quote, "The real Mount Sinai must have been a cave." I'm sorry, "The real Mount Sinai must have a cave where Elijah once dwelt." That's important. "Yabal Laws has such a cave, which perfectly matches 1 Kings chapter 19. Can this be another coincidence? Yabal All Laws proves the Bible," they put in all capital letters. "The Bible clearly says that Mount Sinai is in the land of Arabia," and then cited is Galatians 4:25, our text. "Exodus 3:1 clearly states that Mount Sinai is in the land of Midian. The land of Midian is also in Arabia, just east of the Red Sea's Gulf of Aqaba. The Bible also states that the Israelites departed completely out of the land of Egypt And the citation is Exodus 18, 1 through 5, and Exodus 29, 44 through 46. It is very improbable, the article goes on to say, that the Israelites would have wandered around in the Egyptian peninsula for 40 years while it was garrisoned with Egyptian troops. That's an important thing to realize. The historical record proves that this was Egyptian territory, with Egyptian military units guarding its eastern border from hostile nations. The book of 1 Kings proves that the Red Sea crossing had to have occurred in the Red Sea Gulf of Aqaba. The remains of ancient Egypt chariots dating back to the time of Moses just happened to be at the bottom of the Red Sea Gulf of Aqaba, between the two pillars that King Solomon had erected. How did these Egyptian chariots, dating from the time of Moses, end up at the bottom of the sea in the exact location where Solomon built pillars to commemorate the site of the true Red Sea crossing? Since God used Solomon to write two books of the Bible, it makes sense that he was inspired by God to pinpoint the true location of the Red Sea crossing. If the Red Sea crossing was in the shallow Bitter Lakes region, why does the Bible say that the Egyptian chariot army drowned in the mighty waters? And if the true Red Sea crossing was in the shallow lake waters, then why were there no remains of ancient Egyptian chariots found when these waters were dug out to form the Suez Canal? The remains of Egyptian chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea Gulf of Aqaba serves as a smoking gun evidence to prove that this was the true location of the biblical Red Sea crossing. There's absolutely no evidence to support the Red Sea crossing in the Suez region, but there is massive historical, archaeological, and geographical evidence to support the Israelite crossing in the Red Sea Gulf of Aqaba. If this were not the case, or if this is not the case, of this being the biblical location of the Red Sea crossing, then why are the bitter springs of Marah just 3 days' journey from the Red Sea, where they found the remains of the ancient Egyptian chariots? If this is not the true location of the Red Sea crossing, then why are these springs of Elam found in the location that the Bible said they were 3,500 years ago? That's the end of that quote. I got that from The Real Mount Sinai is in Arabia. I can give you the link if you'd like to have that. When Moses first exiled from Egypt, I think you will remember that he dwelt in Midian at the base of Mount Sinai. Midian was in the northwest corner of Saudi Arabia. The New Testament has always referred to Mount Sinai as being in Arabia. The New Testament insists that the location is in Arabia, and that's found in our text, unless you just read over that part. This also suggests an alternative route, or an alternate route, rather, for the Exodus. So people will doubt the Exodus, and of course all the attendant circumstances of it, if they can find no proof for it, or no evidence for it at all. But I can send you links and articles of all kinds, if you have an interest, that show that they have been wrong about the location, and so of course there is no evidence. And hence, people can say the Exodus never happened. Now, Mount Sinai is incredibly important, is one of the most holy sites in the history of the Israelites and also, therefore, to Christians. I mean, the place where God thundered and smoke and fire and the experience there by all the people of Israel. Not to mention that it was where the 10 words or the 10 commandments were given and brought down the mountain in the hands of Moses. Or the place of the golden calf. The idolatrous party that went on around it. This is significant because it's never been found. And where it is found now is miles from where they thought it was. So this increases and enhances our knowledge of Scripture and historical evidence, events rather, that support Scripture. And it destroys the contention that the account of the Exodus is a myth. Now, I'm not saying that we have to have archaeological proof of the veracity of Scripture. I mean, I trust in the Word of God. I don't care if I can find evidence in some rock or mountain or whatever, any place. I'll believe the Word of God because God always tells the truth. But isn't it great when archaeology supports to the T what Scripture says? Our trust is not in archaeology, it's in Scripture. And I think it shows us something that's ironic about all these experts who denigrate the Scriptures as well. They will eventually be proven wrong. It's inevitable, because they are wrong. They who make pronouncements about Scripture wrongly will be shown to be wrong themselves. More fundamentally, they didn't find the right location because they were looking in all the wrong places for it. How many different ways does that apply? So not only do they not know what they're talking about, they support their wrong conclusions with proofs that are not proofs at all. And in many ways and on many occasions. People who take the word of so-called experts over Scripture are themselves misled, ignorant, and are foolish for taking man's word for something against what God says. People who do so and think themselves wise, as such, become fools. The reason one sets himself antagonistically against the Word of God is clearly doing so when not all the information is available or understood properly. Their conclusions are always going to be wrong, and based upon the hubris of someone thinking she or he knows everything there is to know. Rather than humility in the face of Scripture and real knowledge of it and real study of it, folks who do this should be a lot more scientific and acknowledge that they do not have all the information with which to make a conclusion before they make a conclusion. Paul says Mount Sinai is in Arabia. Who are you going to listen to? How could we have missed this? We need to be more careful when we read our Bibles. Mount Sinai is incredibly important, by the way, not only to Israelites, but to Muslims as well, and Christians as well. More importantly, it's critical that we pay attention to the words, the very words of Scripture, and try not to explain them away. If you do that, you're no better than a godless individual who has preconceived notions that Scripture is false. And it'd be really, really simple to prove that through faulty logic and procedures and leave out parts like, Satan did in the garden. I know of many who will not address the text and be honest with it. That also leads to faulty interpretations galore and wrong doctrine. Now, of course, no one has inerrant interpretations of Scripture, but you can be sure, that they're not even close if we gloss over what Scripture says. Mount Sinai is in Arabia. So until I see you again, Lord willing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.